Welcome to the 11 o'clock worship hour at the Hayward Seventh-day Adventist Church in Hayward, California. It is a multicultural Adventist church that is worshiping God under the banner of the three angels' messages, including the fourth angel's message of the gospel, which God wants to be proclaimed to all of the world, that came in a special way in the 1888 message that God gave this people in the Minneapolis Conference. It's a message of righteousness by faith, a unique understanding of justification by faith, including the uplifted Savior on the cross who forgives us of our sins, who died for us, and who is now serving as our high priest to minister his cleansing power in order that we may be prepared for Jesus' second coming. So we welcome you to this hour of worship.
Today, on the day after July 4th, instead of talking about our allegiance to this country, which we do owe, we will talk about our allegiance to God's country. What it means not to be a patriot of the United States, but what it means to be a patriot for God. What it means to be a citizen in the kingdom of God, and what God wants us to do here. If you'll open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, that's where we'll begin. The Sermon on the Mount begins with Jesus trying to escape from the crowds once again. You see, there was a great multitude that had followed him. And seeing this great multitude, Jesus runs up into the mountains. And his disciples follow him. Now, this isn't just the 12. This is his disciples. This is definitely still a large group, but it's not the multitudes. These are those that really believe. These are the people that are following Jesus. And Jesus starts off with his introduction. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And that's how it starts. Blessed is everyone who's down. Everyone that's not feeling happy, that's not doing good, you guys are blessed. Amen. Amen. That's where God starts. He starts where we are. He doesn't say, blessed is everyone that feels great this morning. That's not where he started. He said, blessed for everyone, as Dennis said, only Lord, only the God knows the troubles I've seen. Amen. And that's the rest. God goes on with, blessed are they who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are they when they revile you. All of these, as we call them, Beatitudes, are things that we don't associate with being strong and patriotic. God doesn't say, come, take up arms for me. He says, be peaceful, be meek. When someone punches you in the face, don't punch them back. And that's actually very interesting. And I don't know about you, but if I got punched in the face, my first response is to come out swinging. I mean, let's be honest, right? Yeah? All right. No liars here. It's our natural instincts. That's what we want to do. We want to say, oh, you know, and slug them. But that's not what God calls us to do. God calls us to be peacemakers. Have we ever thought about how hard it is to be a peacemaker? If you've seen two people arguing, what's your first response? Do you say, hey, let's go in the middle of that. Let's get entangled. No, you say, okay, I'm going to steer clear. I'm going to walk to the other side of the street. You know, we don't want to get into arguments. We avoid arguments. We avoid confrontation. And God says, blessed are you when you're confronted, when you're persecuted, when you're put down. Blessed are you. That's powerful, isn't it? Amen. But before we get to that, God has to talk about something else. Christ brings up something else that's very important in his introduction, and that is intention. Because sin starts in here, in the mind. It's not so much what you do, it's what you think. It's not so much... Now, action's important, believe me. Action is very important. But your actions are dictated. Your actions are mandated by what you think and what you focus on. And that's where God begins. Christ says, you have heard of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. Verse 21. Verse 22, but I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of judgment. Whoever is angry. How many people have ever been angry? Well, somebody's asleep because I saw a couple hands that didn't go up. Look around. I'm looking at a room full of murderers. Can you imagine that? Murderers. That's what we are. Just for being angry. Just for being angry. And God goes on. He says, anybody that's ever looked at another, at a woman or a man lustfully. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. I'll spare you that one. But let's all be honest. I mean, just those two alone. And I mean, the first one, he got everybody in the room. The second one, he got everybody in the room. We all are looking pretty bad as far as being patriots here for God's cause. I can't say that I live up to this. And I know that nobody else in the world can say that they live up to this. We're not alone. And then God goes on to talk about just our oaths. Just saying yes and no. How many times have we said, I'll be there if I can get this done. I'll be there, you know, but I have to do this first. We always place conditions on our promises. Have you ever noticed that? You ever say, oh yeah, yeah, I'll do that for you, but I got to do this first. And then what happens? We get tied up. We get bogged down. Something comes up. You ever heard that one before? Oh, I really wanted to help, but something came up. It's amazing how often that happens. Yet God says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. For whatever is more than this is from the evil one. And how true is that? How true is that? How many times have we been hurt because someone else failed their promise? How many times have we hurt other people because we failed our promise? Why? Because, unfortunately, we are under Satan's domain. And we act like it. But that's not what God wants for us. God wants us to be citizens of his kingdom. God wants us to be happy. God doesn't want us to have to say, oh, I'll do this, but. God doesn't want us to have a reason, any reason, to be mad with anybody. Why? Now, there are good reasons to be mad at people, but that's not what God wants. There's the good, There are good things in this world, and then there's the ideal. There's what God really wants for us. Unfortunately, it's sad to say that we live in just the bad. We don't even make it to good. I mean, let's be honest. Earth is hell. We've heard that before. We're all Adventists, right? Earth is hell in all meanings of the word. Never forget that. But even here, as we move on, God says in our model prayer, as we prayed this morning, says, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, and your will be done. Amen? Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I can't wait till that happens. It's interesting because after Jesus says this, he says something that's even harsher. He says, going back to chapter 5, 43, he says, You have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to them who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Now, there's a little funny story here that I have to elaborate. And that's where Jesus says, just before this, just before he says, and whoever compels you to go 1 mile with him, go two. Now, we don't get that because it's not really a joke to us. But when Jesus said it, it was meant to be as a joke. Because when he says compel, what he really means, and this was common practice back in the Roman days, is the Roman centurions or guards or soldiers, they would have to go someplace, some mile. And they had, you know, their heavy bags and their equipment with them. So what they would do is they would grab a random person off the street and they would say, carry my bag for me for a mile. And, of course, if you didn't, they'd throw you in jail. So when he says compel, what he really means is force. So it's kind of like, he's like, you know, when they ask you to go a mile, go with them too. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to go with them 3 feet. I mean, I have to carry your stuff just because I don't want to get in jail. And then God says, love your enemies. That's powerful. If anyone sues you for your cloak, or if anyone sues you for his tunic, let him have your cloak also. That's, I don't know, if I'm getting sued, I don't want to give, I mean, if someone's taking my clothes and suing me for my clothes, I don't want to give them my car as well. You know, I mean, that's pretty rough there. I mean, come on, God. What's the deal here? It's like you're saying, let us be taken advantage of. What are we to do? I mean, how are we going to live if we give money to everyone who asks? To anyone who wants to borrow money, we give it to them and we don't expect it back. I don't know about you, but I ain't getting much. You know, I'm not made of money. I mean, come on, God, what are we going to do? I need my clothes. You know, I can't be nice to everyone. If I'm nice to everyone, there's nothing for me. In all of those statements, in all of those thoughts, there's one key word. You know what that word is? I. Whenever we have those kinds of thoughts, what are we focused on? We're focused on me. We're focused on ourselves. We're saying, I need this. What we should be saying is, your will be done, Lord. God says, don't worry about those things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. and all these things will be added to you. You know, that's the only thing in here that God actually wants us to do. That's all he wants from us. Because what's the next line of that? What does he say will be added to us? All these things. Everything that came before. The point isn't that we try to be perfect. God said, "Be ye therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." God will take care of that. That's not for us to do. Because if we're seeking after perfection, what are we not doing? We're not seeking after God's kingdom and his righteousness. We're seeking our own righteousness. And when we seek our own righteousness, we're setting ourselves up to fail. We cannot try to be perfect. All we can do is try to be close to God. And he will make us perfect. Okay, that's not to say that we cannot be perfect in this life. We can, but only if we focus on God. Only if we focus on God. If we're focused on ourselves and we're focused on trying to be good, if we're focused on trying to please God in those ways by what we think we can do, we're not looking where we should be. We're not focusing on God. As I was saying this morning, when we're focused on God, one thing happens. We're thankful. And when we're thankful, we can't be mad. Think about that for a second. When you're thankful, you're not angry. You're not sad. You're happy. Things are going good. God says, "Don't worry about this stuff. I've got it. I know you need it. Don't worry about it. Don't." I said, "Stop already." And I know that's hard for me. Because I'm like, but God, I need this. And God's saying, stop. It's okay. I have your back. I've got you. You're going to be all right. Chapter 6, verse 34. "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient is the day for its own troubles." There's enough stuff going on in our lives today that we don't have time to worry about tomorrow. God's saying, just take one day at a time, okay? Calm down. You know, I've got you. There's an old saying, don't go to God saying, "I have big troubles." Go to your God and say, or go to your troubles and say, "I have a big God." Amen. There is one thing. God keeps going over and over on this point. I can't drill it in and stress it enough. And that is that if we're not focused on God, it's not going to work. God says it again. He says, "The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, if your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" How great is that darkness? God wants us to be happy. God wants us to be full of light. And you know what? I don't know about you, but when I'm not focusing on God, I get angry easy. I get mad. I get stressed. How great is that darkness? I get worried. But when I'm with God, and when I know that I have taken the time to be with God, and when I realize that God is with me, I can do no wrong. You know, I am happy. I am good. Because God is good. Because God is in me. It's nothing that I have done. It's God in me. And of course, the closing statements of God. Christ ends his sermon very simply. He says, "Beware of false prophets. They will come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they will be ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit." Now, this part's really important. Listen to this. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. And a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Now, it's interesting that Christ put it in that order. He didn't focus on the negative first and say a bad tree can't bear good fruit. He instead put the positive first. He says a good tree cannot bear bad fruit. When we are with Christ, we are a good tree. We cannot bear bad fruit. Amen? But when we're not with Christ, we are a bad tree. And what can bad trees not do? Bear good fruit. We can't bear good fruit if we're not with Christ. If we're not focused, we're not good. The very, very last. I just love this part. Because again, Christ really hammers it home now. He says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will make him like a wise man who builds his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came up, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." Where's the foundation? On the rock. On Jesus. Where's the focus? On the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. When Jesus had ended these things, the people were astonished at his teachings, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. This is not my message for you today. I do not come to give you what I have to say, but what Christ has given us to say. Christ wants us to be happy, right? Amen. Let us go from here in a joyful spirit, thanking Christ for all he has done. Let us seek his righteousness first, and he'll take care of the rest. Amen.
Jesus is the way to the heart of a loving Father, and God reveals that love to us through his cross. We hope that his convicting love has reached your heart through this message. Feel free to contact us at our webpage, http://hayward.netadventist.org, or if you prefer, telephone number is 510-782-3422. Also, you can email us at haywardsdachurch@aol.com. May God's presence go with you through this coming week is our prayer.